I'm delighted to welcome on the line from the United States of America now, James Perry, on his book, I Still Want to Be an Astronaut. Good afternoon, James. How are you?
Doing great.
Oh, should I say good morning to you? Whereabouts are you?
Good morning.
Whereabouts in the States are you, James, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Utah.
Oh, fantastic, yeah. Great to have you on, James. It really is, because we saw your TED Talk and... I've been watching some of the stuff online as well from Studio C, and it's fantastic. Just wanted to start off really by saying this is kind of a story of your life, isn't it?
I've had kind of a funny little path on how I got to where I am, so I thought I'd share some insights.
Yeah. I noticed on the TED Talk you were talking about the stress that people have to kind of find a purpose in life, and you were saying that you felt under stress because you didn't seem to have a purpose, or maybe you were missing out on your purpose and you couldn't really relax.
Yeah, that's right. I just I feel like I always wanted to do, the best of whatever I ended up doing. I wanted to do the best at it, right? We all want to master what we're doing and everything, so... I was caught feeling like, man, if I don't figure this out soon, I'm just going to fall behind and stressed way too much about that.
Yeah, and you can't really relax when you think you're not living your purpose in life, so you can't, and when you are, I suppose, you find it easier to watch Netflix and kind of chill out on the settee on the sofa for a bit longer than you usually would, maybe.
Exactly.
But the thing I found funny was that you were saying that one of the things that you were scared that there was a puppy dying somewhere because you weren't fulfilling your destiny in looking after dogs or something like that, which you weren't aware of.
Yeah, just like the places your mind can go when you're stressing out about something that's just unnecessary to stress about. And so that's the message is trying to get people to understand that, like, it's not so much worrying about every little thing you do is right and everything that you do is leading to one great purpose, but that, in fact, like, there is no one purpose that you serve. There's no one thing you do, but there is one purpose you have, which is just to be, as to discover who you truly are and be that. And so,
now, early on in life, did you feel that you wanted to be an engineer or be the astronaut that you wanted to originally be?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of interest, and that's part of why I thought about this a lot and had enough material to write a book. But I was into the science and math and all that. I was really into drama, making movies, into a lot of different things. So,
How does this Studio C come along in your life? And obviously that changed your life in many ways and you're still very much part of what's going on. How did you get that opportunity in the first place?
Yeah, so I was in college and I had a lot of friends. Some of my best friends growing up were the theater kids.
Yeah.
And those were the kids I got along with and a lot of them went off to study theater and everyone has like their different things, their different fears, and mine is like stability. And I was like, oh, I'd love to be an actor, but I'm just afraid of that kind of life of like feeling unstable. And so I was like, oh, well, I like math and science. I'll study engineering. And so I ended up getting in the engineering program at BYU and I was having fun, but I definitely needed a creative break. So I joined a comedy club on campus. And that comedy club became popular, and it was because of YouTube, actually. We released a video that got big on YouTube. It was a parody of Katy Perry's California Girls. It was called Provo, Utah Girls. So just making fun of the culture at BYU. And then the BYU TV is a station that that is connected with the school, and they had originally just posted very academic, religious, that kind of stuff, but we approached them and said, hey, how would you like to try a comedy show? And it was a very different thing for them, but they said, all right, we'll give you a little chance, and they gave us just the tiniest budget, and just scraped by, but it gained some traction, and so they gave us a chance for season two, and it grew and grew from there. And so it was just a series of events of just kind of trying things out and then following just that next little opportunity.
Yeah. One of the things I found really interesting in what you were saying on the TED Talk in particular was and it's something I've had to deal with in my life, because I do two roles. I'm a church minister as one, and I'm a radio presenter as my other. So it's quite a mixture. But I was always concerned that doing kind of radio work, or maybe as you look at what you were doing in the comedy shows, wasn't really affecting people's lives. And you kind of came across that revelation that maybe you were helping people in some respects.
Yeah, and that was the big turning point. Is part of choosing to be an engineer was, it was very easy for me to go to these classes and see, like, oh yeah, you're building something for someone, and you're working real hard and figuring out the equations and using your brain to solve problems for the world, right? It was,
yeah.
It was an easy translation into, oh, maybe that's my purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But the Studio C stuff was, it was goofing off. It was having fun. It was putting my heart into something just for the joy of it.
Mm.
And then, like you said, I'd made that discovery of, like, when people started writing in letters and emails and messages saying, like, hey, this makes my life so much better on a hard day. It's because our focus on Studio C is family-friendly comedy.
Yeah.
So anyone of any age can enjoy it. And so people who, you know, young kids or people who don't want to watch stuff that has more vulgarity or
yeah.
dirty jokes and all that, they can still enjoy comedy that's written at the same level of funny, but just without, you know, having to feel uncomfortable if they feel uncomfortable.
And
right?
There's not much that stuff around, is there? You know, because I've got young kids, and there's certain things we can watch, and obviously we enjoy. But it's just,
yeah.
Maybe you've hit on something there as well with that.
Yeah, and so when we started seeing that this was actually having an effect on people, what it made me realize, which is like the huge shift in what I'm trying to help people make
yeah.
a shift in their mind, is that if it's important to you, like it was something I could pour my heart into and everything, like I wanted to make everything better. It wasn't like, oh, I was going to get paid more if I do this better, mm-hmm. or I'm going to get more popular if I do it better. It was just, I care about this comedy and this stuff being high quality. And because of that, it became something that people could enjoy and relate to. And it became more purposeful for me than doing something that I assumed was important to the rest of the world.
Yeah. And is it still going today, Studio C, and is it still as popular as it was?
Yeah, I mean, it continues to grow. This last week, we just crossed on YouTube. We just crossed 2 million subscribers.
Yeah.
That was a fun little thing. It's a big deal.
You've got one more today as well, by the way.
What was that?
You've got one more today, by the way.
Right.
I subscribed earlier. Yeah.
All right, that sounds good.
It's great. Yeah, it really is. It's just laugh-out-loud material, which I love.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing that I have to plug here is that
yeah.
we are expanding beyond Studio C. So Studio, like I said, we did this on this network that's associated with BYU, and so there's only so much they can do and so much growth that they have and so much growth that we could have within that system.
Yeah.
And so we grew Studio C and it was wonderful, but we wanted to do more because we keep getting these messages like, man, if there was more, what more could you do? And so the original cast of Studio C branched off to do something called JK Studios.
Right.
And we're doing more than just sketch comedy. It'll be sitcoms, reality TV, all this stuff still under that umbrella of family-friendly comedy that's very underserved.
Have any networks approached you as well? Because obviously you have 2 million subscribers and there's a lot of people watching it.
Yeah.
So are there options to go on to tell it, like mainstream TV, or are you already on there?
On mainstream TV, no, we're focusing on
yeah.
digital platforms like YouTube, Facebook Watch, even like Snapchat and all that stuff, because that's how a lot of people are getting their media. In fact, if it wasn't for YouTube, Studio C wouldn't have grown like it did.
Yeah.
There aren't enough people who know about the BYU TV channel for us to really have grown. But since YouTube is all over the world, you know, we have big followings out. You know, our most popular video started because it blew up in Croatia. It's just like, it's the Scott Sterling soccer video that it blew up in Europe first because soccer or football.
Yeah, football.
It's so big in Europe. And then like that helped us as well.
So Jane, big question then. Do you feel like, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I've reached my purpose in life? Or is this just a aspect of your purpose in life?
Oh no, there's no reaching my purpose. It's just living every day with purpose. You know, so and that's another shift in this paradigm of like, my purpose is to be as genuinely me as possible.
Yeah.
So that means two things. First, always discovering myself. And I talk about one of the things I talk about in that talk and in my new book is like wasting time is actually something that's essential. People are so worried about wasting time. Everyone's got to be efficient, get as much done as possible. And how I can only be successful if I'm just like pushing myself to the limit. Right.
Yeah.
But what that actually does is locks you into a certain mindset, and you're not relaxing enough to be open to new things. And so, like, as you discover yourself, try new things out, play around, be willing to waste time because that's how you find out new things. Then that's how you go from one purpose to another, because you say, hey, you know what? Maybe this could develop into something new, and being open-minded will keep you excited about life, keep you doing awesome things. You know, I mean, I wrote this book. I never thought I'd write a book, but I went and did a TED talk, and then that led to someone saying, hey, I liked your talk. Would you want to write a book about it? And I said, sure. And then who knows where this will lead, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of kicking against kind of conventional thinking, aren't you, in many ways? You know, you got to be getting up and doing stuff. And I think a lot of self-help books and so on, trying to maybe mold you into somebody different and trying to say, look, you need to change to be somebody different rather than really find out who you really are.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that if you push and push and push against and you're trying to be this extreme whatever you're trying to be, you tire yourself out because that's not how humans work. We don't work by, like, trying to push and push and push against something like that's naturally within us.
Yeah.
But once you let that go and you're just going with, you know, it's kind of like they say, going with the flow and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Letting life happen a little bit, then you actually end up being more productive because you're excited every day. Every day is new. Every day is open to like new fun experiences. So you want to get up earlier. You want to work harder. You want to do all these things because they're coming from you instead of you feeling like, oh, I have this thing that I have to be. I have to be this thing right now, and you're pushing and pushing, but it's like you're like the analogy I use. It's like you're cutting grass with scissors instead of a lawnmower, and you're like you're working real hard, but you're just like feeling like you're not getting anywhere. And so instead of working hard, you work smart, and you work like according to your genuine passion and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, it's great. I mean, there's so many things we haven't touched on, but there's loads in the book, like your experiences of building a boat with holes in it and still impressing a girl in the meantime, and getting a part play because you look like a girl. We're not going to have time to dwell on those, but if people want to find the answers to that, they've got to buy the book. So the book is by James Perry. It's called I Still Want to Be an Astronaut, Living Your Dream When You Dream Too Much. And it's available if you go to our website, tre.radio. You can order the book that way and get it delivered here in Spain as well. James, thanks for coming on. And you've actually made me feel better about the fact that I watch too much soccer or whatever and lie down on the sofa too much.
And you just let you know, you let yourself know. You'll know, you feel it when you're wasting too much time, or if you're doing something that's just going to heal your brain, you know.
So if my wife says to me, "You're on this, you're lying down again. You need to do some work." I can just say to her, "Look, James says that I've got to do this to discover my purpose."
There you go.
There we are. So I'm going to do that. James, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Take care. James Perry there on his book, I Still Want to Be an Astronaut. And I thought he just mentioned in a little throwaway comment there about Rolling with the Flow, and the song title came to mind, Charlie Rich, a bit of country for you. Rolling with the Flow.
Once was a thought inside my head.